You can make your way back to the foyer there. And your teacher for today's children's church will be back there with you. I believe it's Miss Sarah and Mr. Todd. Good morning, Univista. Good to see you. We're glad that you're here. And if you're a visitor, we're glad that you've come to be with us today to share in our worship services. And this morning, we're going to be continuing on, as we have over the last several weeks, talking about some of the attributes of Christ. You know, we've learned about how that Christ is a great reconciler, how He is a great redeemer, a great forgiver. Last week, we took some time to learn about how that Christ is a great instructor and a great example setter. We learned that we have to learn to forgive as Christ forgives, to love as He loves, to receive and to share His Word as He teaches it. And probably above all things, we learned that we have to do as Christ did. And this morning, I want to continue on in that theme of sharing with you about what Christ teaches us. In particular, I want to share about the example that Christ sets for us about servitude. You know, Christ was the example of how to be a servant. Amen? And this morning, I want us to see how that being a Christ-like servant really means something. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This morning, we're going to read together verses 5 through 11. And if you would, I would ask that you please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul to the church of Philippi said it this way. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the gifts of mercy and of grace. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful sunshine that You have provided for us here this morning. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You have allowed us an opportunity to come yet once again to gather in this place of worship, one another together as brother and sister in Christ, one with another, Lord. Father, I pray today that if there is somebody here, Lord, beneath the sound of my voice who's never known You, who's never invited You into their heart and into their life, Lord, I pray that today might be that day that they embark upon a relationship with You. Lord, I pray likewise for those that are here as believers, Lord. Lord, I know that in the believer's walk we struggle from time to time. I know that we go through seasons of hardship and of difficulty. And Lord, I pray that if that is a believer here today, that Lord, they would turn to You and to You alone. Lord, Father, I pray that today we as followers, Lord, that You would teach us and set forth Your example about servanthood, what it means to be a Christ-like servant in every aspect of our lives. Lord, Father, I would pray that if there is somebody here who struggles with the idea of servanthood, then Lord, today that You would teach us, that You would open up our hearts to be receptive to Your Word. Lord, Father, today I would ask that You use me as nothing more than a mouthpiece and as a tool. Lord, Father, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, Father, I pray that You just forgive me of my many shortcomings and failures, Lord. And now, Father, I just ask that Your Holy Spirit come and take hold of this service. Lord, it's all this we'll give You the honor, the glory, and the praise for. And it's in Your name we ask these things. Amen. Christ sets the ultimate example for being a Christ-like servant. But what does it mean? What does it really mean to be that Christ-like servant? One of the first things I think that we learn from the verses of Scripture that we've read here is that being a Christ-like servant really means sacrificing our rights for the rights of others. Putting not ourselves above others, but putting the needs of others above ourselves. Amen? We learn that about Christ. You know, Christ came to this earth and He set aside His right and set aside His privilege in order that He could put upon Himself the loincloth of a bondservant so that He could come and give of His life that if we believe and trust in Him, that we might go free. We learn from the Scripture that we read this morning that Christ truly was God. He was God incarnate. But He didn't allow that to stand in His way. We read in verse 6, it says it this way of the Scripture that we read. In verse 6, it basically shares and says that He who thought He was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. We learn here that even though Christ was the Son of God, even though that He was a deity, He did not allow His birthright, His privilege as the Son of God, to stand in the way of Him coming to be a servant. Now think about that. Think about this idea that Christ, who is God and who is God incarnate, you know, in the book of John chapter 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word and the Word was God." And then in verse 14 of the same chapter it says that the Word was manifest into the flesh and it dwelt among us. So we see that Christ came as God and He was God, and I believe that with all of my heart. And even though He was God and knew that He was God, He didn't allow that to stand in the way of being a true servant. Putting upon Himself the form of a servant. Putting upon Himself the form of a slave. So how is it so that we, who were nowhere near in comparison to God, nowhere in comparison to the deity of Christ, how can we place ourselves to be privileged above others? I believe with all of my heart that being a Christ-like servant really does mean placing the needs of others before ourselves. That's what Christ did. Christ placed the needs of others before Himself. Christ, who was with God from the very beginning, knew that there was no other way but to do the will of the Father and to come and take upon Himself the form of man and live in this life and have a ministry and be perfect and be holy while yet coming in the form of man, still being God, and living a holy life, a perfect life, and then giving that life on the cross so that He could shed His blood so that we might believe and trust in Him and be saved. Christ knew that there was going to be no other way than the way that God the Father had set forth before Him. But He didn't allow His birthright as the Son of God. He didn't allow His privilege. He didn't allow His place in heaven to stand in the way of that. Christ was obedient to His servanthood. Christ understood that it meant sacrificing His own rights for the lives and the needs of others. One of the great problems with society and the world today is we live life with a sense of entitlement, do we not? How many times have you heard people say, "I deserve that. I've earned that." Anybody? Maybe you've said it yourself. Maybe you've said to yourself, "I deserve this. I've earned this. It's my place. It's my right." You heard people say that. Maybe that's been your attitude about things before in life. It's hard to have that attitude and be a Christ-like servant. Amen? Because Christ, who is above all things, above all ways, came and He laid all of those birthrights, all of those privileges aside and made a sacrifice for our life so that we might gain from His life. Being a Christ-like servant is about sacrificing our rights for the rights of others. You see, Christ gave up His privilege, took upon Himself the form of man. What about you? What will you do? Will you come and will you lay aside everything in order to be a humble and more obedient servant of Christ? To serve the needs of others rather than to serve the needs of yourself? Or will you choose to bear your privilege? Will you have the attitude of, I deserve this and I deserve that, or it's my right? I pray that you'll see the attitude of Christ was very different from the attitude of the world today. I pray that you'll put on yourself a cloak of humility, as it's often said in the Scriptures, and you will make the decision to sacrifice your rights for the rights and the life and the needs of others. But not only do we learn this about being a Christ-like servant and what it truly means in the example that Christ sets, but we also learn that being a Christ-like servant really does mean becoming less so that others may become more. I love how John the Baptist said it. It's probably one of my favorite things that John the Baptist said in all of the few things that we read about him. But in John chapter 3, verse 30, we get this glimpse of the attitude of John the Baptist and his preparing of the ministry and the coming of Christ. If you don't know the story of John the Baptist, he was the one, according to the Word of God, who was sent before Christ to kind of prepare and make way for the public ministry of the Lord. And John the Baptist had this to say when Christ came on scene. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, John the Baptist was a well-known man. John the Baptist was really a shaker and a stirrer before Christ came on the scene. But John knew that his place in the ministry of Christ was to prepare a way, to make an inroad for him. And then when Christ came on scene, it was John's responsibility to step aside and, as he says, to decrease that Christ might have the increase. Why? So that he could have all of the honor and all of the glory. Why? Because it's due unto him. Amen? That is Christ. That's who we serve. He is worthy for the honor and the glory and the praise. And John the Baptist had the humility to be able to say, I need to decrease that Christ might have the increase. One of the biggest struggles for us sometimes as believers is for us to reach this point of humility of being able to say, you know what, I need to step back. I need to decrease. I need to be less so that Christ can be more through me. If you want to make the decision in your heart and in your life to be a Christ-like servant, to really live, to really do as Christ wants you to do, you've got to make the decision that I need less of me and I need much more of Him. That's the only way that you can do it. That's the only possible way that you can really be the servant that Christ wants you to be. We ought to have the attitude of men like John as they say, I need the decrease that he can have the greater increase. Church, it's really about being emptied of self so that we might be filled with Him. It's easy as humans living in the world that we live in to become very arrogant. We think it's all about us. We have the attitude that I can do. We say that word a lot, do we not? I. I is such a detractor from being a more Christ-like servant. It's not about I, it's not about we, it's about Him. It really is about Him. It's about Him. What He chooses to do through us. What He chooses to do through our church. What He chooses to, how He chooses to use us as servants, as followers, as disciples. It's about our decreasing so that He might increase. It's about us truly being emptied of self that we might be filled with Him. There's no other way to do that without inviting Christ into our heart and into our life and asking Him to radically change us. You see, human nature is that you want to be glorified. Human nature is, I want my right. I want my privilege. Human nature is not to decrease so that others might have the increase. Human nature is not that we give up the glory so that God can have it all. Human nature is the total opposite of all that. And it's impossible to decrease so that He might increase without His help, without asking Him to come into our heart and our life and radically change us. But God can do that. God can make us the servants that we know that we should be, and the servants that we know that He wants us to be. Look at what verse 7 said there in Philippians chapter 2. I know we've read it once, but I'll read it again before we move on. Christ give us this example. It says, He emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Think about that. Christ, who was holy, Christ, who was all-powerful, who knows all things, who is present in all places and in all times, Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It says that He emptied Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was born in the likeness of men. This is the example that Christ sets about servitude. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was willing to decrease so that the will of His Father might be done. Our attitude should be that we are willing to decrease and to empty ourselves that we might be filled with Him, to be filled with His Spirit, so that not our will would be done, but the will of the Father. Being a Christ-like servant, it really does mean sacrificing our rights for the rights and the needs of others. It means becoming less so that others, especially Him, may become more. But it's also about this. It's also about being obedient at any cost. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, as Paul expressed about what Christ did in His humanly form, he said it this, "And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross." I shared this with you several weeks ago as we talked about Christ being a Redeemer and Christ being a Reconciler. We looked at some Old Testament reference to what the cross was. You know, today in Christian culture, the cross represents something different for us than it represented for people in the day in the life in which Christ walked this earth. You see, for us, we oftentimes will wear a cross or a crucifix around our neck as a symbolism of our faith in Christ and what He did for us, His sacrifice, His willingness to give His life for us. But you see, a few thousand years ago, if you would have worn the adornment of a cross around your neck, it would have been a disgusting sight. As we read in the Old Testament scriptures just a few weeks ago, we learned how that the cross was a symbolism of a sinner's death. We learned how that the cross was a representation of a cursed death. So in the day in which Christ walked this earth, the symbolism of the cross was a terrible thing. It was the symbolism of a cursed death. Today it represents something totally different, does it not? So if we think about the context of the cross in which it was when Christ walked this earth, we can better understand what this Scripture is saying. Being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. One of the first things we see is He humbled Himself to be obedient to death. Christ, being God, has been in existence since the beginning of time. God will never cease to be God. God will always be God. He can never die. He can never cease to exist. But Christ, in doing the will of the Father, on taking upon the servanthood of what His Father wanted Him to do, which was to give of Himself, to become the propitiation for mankind that we might go free, it literally meant that Christ had to be obedient to death. It meant that Christ, even though He was one with God, had to die, had to give of Himself, had to give of His life. There was no way that He could become sin for you and I unless He was obedient to give of His life. First, we see that Christ was willing to do that. That He didn't set aside, He set aside His right and His privilege of being God in order that He could take upon Himself to be obedient to death. Christ would never have had to have died lest it were not for us. Do you understand that? Christ never had to die unless it was for us. So He made Himself obedient to God's will to first come and die for us. But He didn't die a martyr's death. You know, in the Christian faith, we think about Christ, we think that the death on the cross is really likened unto a martyr's death. But when Christ took upon Himself the death of the cross, He took upon Himself a criminal's death. Not a martyr's death, but a criminal's death. The viewpoint of society in that day was Christ took upon Himself a criminal's death, and He was dying an accursed death. So not only was He obedient to die for you and I that we might go free, but He took upon Himself a criminal's death and an accursed death. Think about the obedience that Christ had to do what His Father wanted Him to do. It's obedience at all costs, amen? If you really want to be a Christ-like servant, it's about obeying at all costs. You know what? In serving, I've learned over the years that we want to put our servitude and we want to put our service in a box. Meaning this, we have parameters about what we will or what we will not do in serving God. Right? I will do this to serve God. I will teach Sunday school. I will work in VBS. I will read my Bible. I will pray. I'll work in the mission that we have here. But here's what I won't do. I won't go to a foreign land. I won't do mission work. I won't give everything that I have and give it to the poor. I want to live a comfortable life. I want to be happy. I want to serve. I want to do what I want to do within the parameters of what I want to do. But I want to do what I want to do, not what He really wants me to do. That's how we oftentimes want to label a Christ-like walk. We say we're living and doing what Christ really wants us to do, but in truth and reality, we're doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, and when we want to do it. Truth? I'm just speaking the reality. I'll do this for the Lord, but I won't do that. Anybody remember the old song? I think Meatloaf, you know, sang it. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Yeah? Surely you do. I'll do anything for the Lord, but I won't do that. I'm reminded of Peter. He says, Lord, I love You. I'll never deny You. But ultimately, Peter denied the Lord not once, not twice, but he would deny Him multiple times. You know, we say, I will go, Peter even said, Lord, I'll go with You to the death. He cut off the ear of another man as they came and got ready to take Christ away. Lord, I'll serve You and I'll be with You to the end. Talk is cheap. Amen? I'm a believer in that. Talk is cheap. We say a lot. But when it comes right down to it, will we really do a lot? I love You, Lord, and I'll do this and I'll do that, but I won't do this. That's how we like to serve. Christ was obedient at all costs. Obedient, one, to death, and two, obedient to die a sinner's death and to die an accursed death. Don't place your service in a box. Don't put parameters on how you will serve and how you will not serve. I've learned that God has a way of breaking us and humbling us to the point of helping us to serve in the capacity that He wants us to serve. Amen? Think about that story of Jonah and the whale. I'm sure you're familiar. Jonah said, Lord, I love You and I'll serve You, but I won't go to Nineveh. Remember? Anybody? Please, I hope you do. Guess where Jonah ended up? Nineveh. Got there in a totally different way than he thought he would ever have to end up going. But he got there. God has a way. Be obedient. Why? Because that's what being a Christ-like servant really means. It also means that we become less so that others may become more, that we sacrifice our right and our privilege so that others may be put before us. But what else? Being a Christ-like servant means that our service is not in vain. I want you to know that. I want you to know that being a servant, that being obedient, that doing what God wants you to do is not in vain. You may think that in the world that we live in, people really don't care a lot about how you serve. And you might be right. There's a lot of people in the world who may not care about how you serve. It may not be important to them. God may not be important to them. Christ may not be important to them. Church may not be important to them. But I still want you to know that even though your service may not be important to anybody else in this world, it is important to God. That above all, you matter to Him. And that He has a purpose and that He has a place for you. And He desires your service, and your service does not go in vain. Verses 9, 10, and 11, Paul shared it this way. He said, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." You see, Christ set aside His right. He set aside His privilege. He took upon Himself the form of man. And He came, and in the form of man, He humbled Himself and made Himself obedient to death, to a cursed death, to a sinner's death. And as a result, it says that God exalted Him. God showed privilege on His Son's obedience. And He exalted Him, and He gave Him a name above every name. A name that is so great and so holy and so beautiful that at the sound of His name, that every knee would bow and that every tongue would confess. Think about the exaltation that God gave His Son because of His obedience. Christ in His obedience and His service did not go in vain. Amen. Our service does not go in vain. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Says it this way, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, Christ said it this way. He says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." In James chapter 4, James the brother of Jesus, in James 4:10 said it this way. He says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you." Maybe it's not about being recognized by others, but maybe it's about being recognized by God. It's human nature. We all like a pat on the back. We all like a good attaboy, right? Yeah, sure we do. You like it when your boss tells you that you've done good. You like to be recognized. It's human nature. A lot of times we don't get into serving God and serving Christ and serving Him because there's not a lot of glory in it. There's not a lot of fame in it. Just truth, just reality for a lot of people. It doesn't interest them because they feel like there's not a lot of return in it. The truth is this, humble yourself before the Lord and He will exalt you. Humility and service brings riches in life. Maybe not earthly riches, but great spiritual riches. Amen. Our service does not go in vain. God recognizes it, God exalts it, and probably above that, God uses our service for great things. The last thing I want you to know about being that Christ-like servant is this. Being that Christ-like servant means that it's about being more than it's about doing. It's about being more than it's about doing. How about today you just be a Christ-like servant? Don't focus on so much about what I've got to do. I've got to do A, B, C, and D. And if I do these things, I'll be the better servant. Don't focus on just the action. Don't focus on just the deed. How about just be? Just be a Christ-like servant. Just be a faithful follower. Just be the disciple that you know that you need to be, that God is calling you to be, that He wants you to be. Just do it. Just do it. Just be who He wants you to be. Just be faithful. Be obedient. Be less so that He might be more. Lay aside what you think is your right and your privilege. so that His holiness might envelop you, so that others might be put before you, so that you might truly learn what it means to be a servant. As our praise and our worship team comes, I pray today that if you're here, you've never known Christ, you've never had a personal relationship with Him, I would pray that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, telling you that you need to come, that you need to invite Him into your heart and your life, I'm asking of you, if the Spirit is speaking to you, would you not be obedient and would you not come and invite Him into your heart and your life? Because I'll tell you this, it is impossible to begin a servanthood relationship if you don't know the Master. That's just the truth. It's impossible for you to begin serving if you don't know Him. And I mean really know Him. Do you know that you know that you know Him? Would you not come this morning and invite Him into your heart, invite Him into your life? Would you not come and be saved? It's as simple as admitting and knowing that you are indeed a sinner, that you have fallen from the graces of God, and that you know that you need to be saved, that you believe in your heart that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, that He came and He gave of His life willingly and freely. And then all you have to do is come and confess those sins and invite Christ into your heart. You can, and as the Word of God says, He is faithful and just and willing to forgive us. You come this morning. Maybe you're here and you know Christ. You've invited Him into your life. But your walk with Him isn't what it needs to be. Your walk with Him is scattered, it's sporadic, or maybe it's just not dedicated. Your walk with Him could not be summed up by the term servant or servanthood. Would you not come this morning? This altar is a place that is open for you where you can come and seek His face. You can ask Him to help make you a better and more obedient servant. You can ask Him to help you to decrease that He might increase. You can help Him. You can ask for the help to lay aside your right, your privilege that you think that you have. And He can help give you humility to better serve Him. Maybe you struggle with the idea that your service goes in vain. I want you to know today that it does not. But the Lord can help you to see where your service is a valued asset to Him. However God is working on your heart this morning, you come. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come now to a time of response where we as believers, as followers, have an opportunity to be obedient to Your call. Lord, I would pray that if there is somebody here who has never known You, that Lord, before it is everlasting too late, that they would come and they would give their heart and their life to You, that today they would be saved. Lord, likewise, I pray for believers who may be here and struggling in their journey, struggling in their walk. Lord, maybe they want to be that faithful servant, but there are things that just stand as stumbling blocks within their path. Lord, maybe they carry about pride. Lord, maybe they carry about an inability, Lord, just to see that their service is needed. Maybe they don't understand what it means to be a servant. Lord, I pray whatever the need be, that they would come to You. Lord, maybe there's something in their life that they just need to lay down and set aside to be that better servant. I pray that people see that this altar is open and hearts would be receptive and responsive to Your call. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Let's all